I believe doing that I'm correctly hooked up. Now tell me, Dilo, and I often ask this question, aren't you glad you say, I don't think of anything better. To sit there and sing, enjoy the singing. I don't know of anything better. Those folks in Hollywood, they're a bunch of fakers, you know that? False joy. And we have the real thing. And I like that song, I don't remember the group that sings it. I've read the end of the book, and we win. That makes you feel good. Now, for some time, we have been considering together the Holy Spirit. We have seen that the Holy Spirit is God, a person, not a thing, not an essence. We've seen that the Holy Spirit, oh, where is the Holy Spirit? I remember when I was a boy, they sang a hymn back there in New York, Come Holy Spirit. I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I'm looking all over for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit is within. Let him out. That's the problem. And that's what the world needs, that the Holy Spirit may flow through us like water to the troubled seas around. We saw also that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. That's good. They're having a lot of trouble with the New York Times. Right? No trouble here. The author is the Holy Spirit, God himself. Then we saw that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the Bible. And I like this thought. The teacher of the book is present to tell you what he means. How about Shakespeare? Is he around? You may not agree on what Shakespeare is saying, but you can't find him to tell you what he means. The author is alive and well and present to teach us. And now today we want to look at the Holy Spirit as leader. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I have certain idiosyncrasies that are peculiar to me. And I like to confirm scripture with scripture. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 143. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10. And I'm going to read it the way it is written in the Revised Version. Psalm 143, verse 10, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy good spirit shall lead me into the land of uprightness. Isaiah chapter 48, please. And those of you visiting for the first time, you must get accustomed to a bad habit that I have. I turn to a lot of scriptures. But it's good. It's the only way to learn the scriptures. As we had occasion to say just before the break, education is repetition. May I see the hands of all who learned the alphabet the first time they saw it? You went over and over and over, didn't you? That's education. And so it is with the scriptures. I told you about the brother in New York City. 2 weeks of gospel meetings, and he spoke from one verse, John 3:16, and every message was different. Can you do it? the beauty of the book. I have to be very careful. I could get away on that subject. We don't want to do that. Isaiah 48, did I say? Verses 16 and 17. Come ye near unto me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am, and now the Lord and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord which teacheth thee to profit, which leads thee. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. The leading of the Holy Spirit. Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 15, please. Verse 28. Oh, I like this one. Acts 15 and verse 28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Ah, that's fellowship. Agreeing with the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's some spiritual stage, isn't it? When something seems good to the Spirit and to you, you must be in agreement. Chapter 16, please. Acts. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Oh my, that's guidance, isn't it? Don't go there. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. The Spirit said no. That's divine guidance. The guidance of the Spirit. Now, how important is guidance? How important is leadership? Back in New York City, I went to the College of the City of New York. And they had a band there called the ROTC Band. Reserve Officers Training Corps. And they had a colonel with a white, or rather a brown baton, and he used to lead the band. The greatest noise you ever heard. That band could not play pure cacophony. Charter Day came. Dignitaries from many places were there to speak to us. And listed on the program was the ROTC band. Oh my. I said, this is going to spoil it. And when the time came for the ROTC band to play, the colonel didn't come up. A visiting professor came up. Striped pants, cutaway Prince Albert coat, starched shirt, beautiful bow tie, and a bow tie in his hand, and he raised his hand. I never heard the band play like that. They played music. Why? The leadership was different. The leadership was different. Let me ask you a question. A herd of deer in that corner, led by a lion. Over here, a pride of lions led by a deer. Which is more fierce? I leave that for you to figure out. But I assure you that deer led by a lion far more serious than a lion, than lions led by a deer. The leadership is important. Matthew chapter 23. The Holy Spirit as leader. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 16. Woe unto you, you blind leaders. Blind leaders. Chapter 15, please. The importance of leadership. Blind leaders. Chapter 15 and verse 14. Matthew 15 and 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Have you ever seen that? I've seen it. A sad sight. Back again in New York City. Charlie Fox and I were doing some research. And he picked me up in his car, and we were on a main thoroughfare. And as I looked into the distance, I saw three blind people holding each other. I said to Charlie Fox, Charlie, stop. Charlie saw them and sounded his horn, and I have never seen anything like it. Three blind people, each separate, beating their horn, their canes, and going separate ways. In the middle of I-95. I got out of the car. I said, stop. Don't move. Stay where you are. And was able to get them together in safety. Charlie Fox drew up with the car. Where are you going? I'll be glad to take you anywhere you want to go. No, thank you. We are all right. Can't see a thing. The blind leading the blind. You know that's the trouble in the world today? I like to listen to these know-it-alls on TV, giving the news, you know? I could call some names, but I would. They have all the wrong answers to all the right questions. Know-it-alls. Blind leading the blind. But you know, it's important whom you follow. Because the leader gives character to those that follow him. It is said of Napoleon, the great Bonaparte Napoleon, that great general and leader, he was reviewing the army one day, and he saw one soldier there trembling and crying. And he went up to him and said, what is your name? And trembling and crying, this poor soldier said, my name is Napoleon. Napoleon said, either change your name or change your behavior. Napoleon doesn't cry. The leader gives character to those that follow. Then the leader must know where he's going. I've told you this before, back again. All these things I tell you happen in New York City. A great city. There were posters in the subway trains and on the buses. Three boys traveling had their knapsacks on their back. The first one was about 10 years old, the next one 8, and the last one about 5. And the second one said to the leader, where are we going? And the leader said, I don't know. And the third voice said, then why are we walking so fast? Going nowhere. And that's what's happening in this world. Men and women are going nowhere. The importance of leadership. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Come back again, please, to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What's the difference between a child and a son? I'm going to say something. It's going to sound like false doctrine, but it isn't. Every child of God is not a son of God. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? Something's wrong. But it's right. Luke chapter 15. The difference between a child and a son. Luke chapter 15. Well-known story. The prodigal son. By the way, when you get home, please check and you'll find that the father was also prodigal. The son was extravagant and the father was extravagant. That's for private study. Verse 17. When he, the prodigal boy, came to himself, I have a lot of people on my prayer list. I wish they would come to themselves. They think they're smart, and I can look at them and see how foolish they are. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee and before heaven and against thee. Verse 19. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Why didn't he say, I am not worthy to be called thy child? Because he's always his father's child. But he's only his father's son when he's worthy. And that's the difference between being led of the Spirit as a child and as a son. Galatians chapter 4, please. Sonship denotes proper behavior. Childhood means being born into the family. That prodigal boy was a child, but he did not behave like a son. Worthy to be called thy son. Sonship indicates worth, behavior. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are what? Sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Father, dear. Notice again the relationship between spirit and sons. Sons are those that walk worthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the church, please note, Whom is this epistle being sent to? Unto the church of God which is at Corinth with all the what? Saints. Were they saved people? Sure. Saints which are in Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. To whom was this epistle written? Saints, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to chapter 6. Chapter 6, please. Verse 14. Bear in mind, now these are saints that Paul is addressing. Believers like you and me. People on their way to heaven. 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believed with an unbeliever? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Now, wherefore? Now, Mark, whom is he writing to? Saints, believers, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. Be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Separation unto God, and then God says, I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Now, they were believers before this, but they were not walking in separation. And it's only as we walk in separation, being led by the Spirit, that we are sons and daughters in the true sense. Always true. Interesting case. Book of Judges. And as our visitors can see, we turn all through the Bible. All. Book of Judges, please. Chapter 13. Verse 25, speaking of Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him. As the Spirit moved him, he was giving him direction, right? Chapter 14, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Again, giving direction. Verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Chapter 15, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Wonderful, isn't it? How the Spirit of the Lord came on this man and moved him. He was really being directed by the Spirit. Chapter 16, please. Verse 20. The last part of verse 20, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Isn't that sad? Something happened. And whereas he was behaving as a son, suddenly we read, he didn't even know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. What had happened? Sin had come in. Sin had come in. He wasn't walking worthy. Read chapter 16 and you will see. Walking worthy. Again, many years ago. And in New York City. That seemed to be where I had all my experience. That wicked city. Coming to the office one day, a young girl held me by the arm and said, please come and see my mother. I said, well, I don't have anything to work with. I'll have to go in the office and get my material. And she held my arm while I went into the office, while I got my bag, when I came out, holding my arm, till she took me to her mother's bedside. Happily, the problem was not a difficult one. And the solution was an easy one. As I was leaving that bedroom, I happened to walk through the living room. And the TV was on. And a lady was speaking. And I said to myself, I don't know who she is, but she is somebody. The way she carried herself and the words that came out of her mouth. The way she pronounced them. I said, she's somebody. I went home that evening and turned on the news. And what do you think the announcer said? At 4 o'clock, the time that I saw this woman, the Queen of England addressed the Congress of the United States. I didn't know who she was, but I knew she was somebody. She was walking worthy. And when we are led by the Spirit, we as sons and daughters walk worthy. Worthy. Wednesday night, Brother Ken Hampton and his wife were with us. The last time I was in Detroit, which is their home, we went to a nice place to eat. And I noticed the waitress that was serving us, dressed like all the other waitresses. But I said to Ken, there's something about this girl that's different. I don't know what it was, but she was just different. I said, I'm going to ask her a few questions. And when she came to the table, I said, Miss, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to the assembly of so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I said, yeah, are you in fellowship? Well, yes, I'm in fellowship there. She was walking worthy. Now, she didn't do anything, and she didn't say anything special, but I could tell by the way she behaved that she was a child of God. She was walking as a daughter. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1. Hebrews 2 and 1, and I'm going to read it according to the reading of the Revised Version. I don't know how the New King James reads it. But listen. Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we slip away from it. That's the trouble. You ever heard of a deserter in the army? He slipped away. He's not following the leader. And believers often slip away and fail to follow the leader. And two things result. Ephesians 4 and 30. There are two dangers that the believer faces in our following the leader. Ephesians 4 and 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve Him, that fellowship is broken. and we might find ourselves as Samson found himself, in trouble. I had a brother in New York. There I go again, huh? New York. He's now with the Lord. And he would often say, you cannot grieve your enemy. Try it. You can only grieve someone that's friendly with you, someone that cares for you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. As we have seen in the past, he is interested in us. And when we grieve him, we are acting apart from his direction. We are not behaving as sons and daughters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him and don't quench him. Forcefully putting him out. Stopping him. You know, when you're thirsty, you take water to quench the thirst. But we're not to quench the Spirit. Don't do anything to quench the Spirit. And those are the two serious errors into which we as believers may fall. And when we grieve or quench the Spirit, his leadership is absent and communion is broken. How is communion restored? Psalm 32. Restoration of communion. Verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose heart there is no guile. When I kept silence after that terrible sin, and no believer out of communion with God is happy. Now you may try to be happy and may try to look happy, you're only deceiving yourself. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring and groaning all the day. A believer out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, is a miserable believer. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned as in the drought of summer. Now, verse 5. How is restoration restored? I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest. So, isn't that nice? I think that's precious. You see, I personally have not reached sinless perfection. Have you? So I have frequent need to ask forgiveness. And every time I ask forgiveness, the Lord forgives me. Isn't that nice? What a God we have. What a Savior. Believers should be the happiest people on earth. Are you happy? Are you enjoying your salvation? 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a Savior. What a Savior. the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. Final scripture, Joshua chapter 3. Why do we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Let's start at verse 1. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, you shall remove from your place and follow it. Follow it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Now notice the last sentence. Why must they follow it? That they may know the way to go. And why do they need to know the way to go? Ye have not passed this way before. That's why we need leadership. Have you seen today before today? Do you know the issues of today? We haven't passed this way before. That's why we need divine leadership. That's why we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop at this point. And in the will of the Lord, we will continue on Wednesday. I'm 7 minutes over time, and we'll be a few minutes more when we sing this hymn. As I often say, I will give you back time at some time in the future, Lord willing. Otherwise, the Lord will take care of it in heaven. Number 500, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus. And every believer should be happy in Jesus. I tell you, I take this Bible and sit and read. I'm actually thrilled at some of the things I find in here. I don't need to buy Newsweek and Times and all those other magazines to get a thrill. They're in here. Thank you. When we walk with the Lord, what a glory He sheds on our way. His good will, He abides with us still, and with all whom we trust and... Now let's go. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and... I know that in some hymn books there's a pause over but. I'm glad there's no pause in our book. It seems to me it takes away from the effect. No way to be happy in Jesus and then you stay there. And 5 minutes later say but to trust and obey. That mars the effect. No way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's rise and sing the last verse, please. Then fellow, we can go wherever fear only them. Prayer and trust and now, thank all day for this moment. Don't hold it. Happy in Jesus, but to trust. Didn't that feel good? Amen. salvation is so wonderful. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence and give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for thy precious word. We are about to leave these walls. We ask that thou wouldst take us home in peace and safety, that thy presence will be with us, thy blessing upon us. Bless those who, for various reasons, could not be with us at this time. We commit ourselves into thy care and keeping. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Only one way to be happy in Jesus. Trust in him.